As much as the Wisconsin outdoors may have to offer in the fall and winter, there's going to come a time when the weather forces us indoors. So what do we do for fun?
Well, our next guest has some ideas to share from the world of board games. And you can join in about what board game you would recommend. Call it 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
John Kovalik joins us now. He's a board game designer and illustrator and player. His newest design is called Double Feature. His art is in new releases, including Cash and Guns and Quackadoodle Moo, which is fun to say. John, welcome back to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Well, before we get to your specific suggestions today, why play board games?
The social interaction, the fun, the laughter, the mental stimulation, the pure. Also, board games are a terrific value for money. I mean, the replay value is phenomenal if you get a good board game. You'll have people playing the same for years, trying to figure out its subtleties, its strategies, just the sheer fun of it all.
Everyone kind of has different taste in board games, though, right? It's kind of hard sometimes to pick a winner for everybody.
Absolutely. And, you know, what one game might be too light for somebody. Somebody may be looking for more strategy. A game I helped create, Apples to Apples, it went on to be a huge, huge bestseller. Many people don't like it. They don't think it's a game. I think it's a perfect little game, self-contained. But, you know, I go on Amazon. I read the one-star reviews out of fun. But, you know, it's a hugely, hugely popular game. But you cannot please everybody.
Well, it sounds like it's a case where you got to know your audience. And let's say the family's together, the friends. You want something quick and easy, maybe at a holiday or something like that. What do you have for us in that vein?
Okay, two really good games, which are going to be very accessible, very easy, a little out of the ordinary for most people, but they're wonderful games. A game called Quirkle, which is produced by Mindware. Think of it as Scrabble, but using shapes and colors. That makes it sound very simple. It is. It's a very simple game, but these shapes and colors are on little squares, which you start placing, and if you get six of the same shape, six of the same color in a row, you get a Quirkle, you get double points. But it's a marvelous game. Really, really highly recommended. It's the description doesn't do it justice. This is a game that's going to have people just laughing and counting their tiles and having a great time. The second game is called Dixit, D-I-X-I-T. And this is a beautiful, elegant little game. The cards all consist of different abstract paintings. The paintings are magical. They're just marvelous. They don't really show anything very specific. They're almost like a Rorschach test. But everybody's got a hand of these cards. One person is the judge, and they will lay one of their cards face down, and they will give one phrase to describe this. If the phrase is too specific, everybody is going to guess which card is theirs, and you don't get any points. If the phrase is too vague, nobody's going to guess which card is yours, and you get no points. At the same time, after hearing the phrase, all of the other players around the table lay down a card of theirs. Again, one of these beautiful little abstract paintings, which they think that phrase might describe. If somebody chooses their card by mistake, then they will get a point. It's been compared to Apples to Apples. It's actually a very different game. The only similarity is that one person acts as the judge / moderator. But, you know, these two games, Quirkle and Dixit, are just easy enough and fun enough you can pull them out at any family gathering, but they've also got enough game to them that they will satisfy really hardcore gamers. It's just, you know, a break in between some of their more advanced games.
It's a funny thing. I have both of those games at home. I've never played either one of them.
Oh, no!
Yeah. I kind of thought that Quirkle looked like a sort of weird Connect Four, which I like, which you wouldn't think would work against it, but I still haven't played it, but you kind of sold me on both of these.
It's not anything like Connect Four. It's so straightforward. And Quirkle, I believe, is two to four players. Honestly, I think if you bought two sets, you could probably include more players.
And what about Dixit? How many people can play that one?
Dixit is great. It's 3 to 6 players, so 6 players is a nice party-size game. Quirkle is ages 6 and up, and a lot of people will see like age 6 and up and think that that's much too simple a game. But some of the greatest games are incredibly simple. They'll just have all of these... there'll be so much depth to these games. The replayability is huge. Dixit is ages 8 and up. That said, you know, I've seen 6-year-olds play this and really love the game. Teenagers would love this game. Adults love this game. Both of these games I would pull out at any party.
We're getting board game suggestions from John Kavalik. You can join in with your favorite board game to suggest at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. John, let's kick it up a notch now. We've talked in the past about gateway games, games that take people from, you know, the games that everybody plays to another level of maybe complexity. What do you have for us in that department?
Okay, these are, again, another couple of games, because most people who play games, even though gaming is getting far more popular, most people think of a board game and they just think of these very simple Monopoly, Risk, licensed games. You know, I remember buying the Happy Days game when I was a kid, which had very straightforward gameplay. Both of these next games should be easy enough for anybody, but the gaming concepts are a little more sophisticated. The first is a hugely popular game amongst the hobby games. It's broken into the mainstream. It's called Ticket to Ride. The designer is Alan Moon, and this is produced by Days of Wonder. And this is a marvelous game of building rail lines across the United States in the 1920s. Once you get the core concepts down, it plays really quickly. The rules are very straightforward. It's just a different kind of game. You get these train tickets, which will tell you where you have to, which cities you've got to connect. So early on in the game, you can choose a ticket which is going to give you a lot of points, for example, New York to Los Angeles. Or you can try building smaller tickets with shorter routes and go for a lot of little routes. You get points for how many routes you complete. You get points for having the longest track. And it's just, you got these lovely little playing pieces as well. The cards, it's a delightfully designed game. The production values are great. And there's just this really nice tactile sense of taking your little plastic train cars and laying them along the track as you're going between New York and Buffalo or Montreal and Sault Ste. Marie. Again, you know, it's going to be the concept. So the first read-through of the rules will be what will hang up, you know, some players. But once you get it down, really, you just pull this out, and it's a fantastic game.
Well, let's get one of our callers in on this. Garrett is joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Garrett.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Say, I wanted to call in and kind of talk about a new card game I've been introduced to called Sentinels of the Multiverse. I was never really, you know, into strategy-heavy games, but a friend brought it up. And it's a blast. It's a card game with, like, knockoff superheroes, and you try to save the world. It's a really fun game.
I like the name. Do you know this one, John?
Yes, I do. It's a fantastic game. It's in a category of games called deck-building games. And so it's a cooperative game. All of the players are superheroes, and you're all going up against the supervillain and the supervillain's minions. So the cards, you shuffle through the card decks. Different players will have different powers trying to attack the supervillain. And it's really a terrific game, and it's very popular in hobby game circles. And I think that fits really nicely into the sort of gateway gaming category. Once you get a game like Sentinels of the Multiverse, there are so many other games out there like that, which, you know, just pop into your local game store, hobby store, and you can find all of these things. But yeah, that is a terrific game.
And in the veins of cooperative games, also on your list today is Forbidden Island.
Yes. Forbidden Island is, and there are a lot of really good cooperative games out there. So these are really terrific games because everybody either wins or loses on their own. Forbidden Island is published by Game Right, and this is 2 to 4 players, ages 10 and up. And essentially, you are all adventurers on an island which is sinking. And the island is composed of various tiles. And the tiles will flood. You flip them over and the tiles flood. And if the tiles flood, once again, they're sunk, and that is lost. So the island is slowly disappearing beneath you. And you're trying to grab these four treasures and get them back to the helipad and get to the helicopter and get off the island. And so there are a lot of ways to lose this game. But one of the nice features is you can make it easier or more difficult. So if you're starting off, definitely have this on the easy setting until you've played a few times. But this is one of those games which is just riveting to me, because as the island starts sinking beneath your team, there is a palpable sense of panic.
It is a tense game. I've played it, yeah.
And again, lovely, lovely pieces, age 10 and up. It's for a long time, I didn't think there were many great cooperative games. And all of a sudden, there are probably five or six really, really great cooperative games out there on the market. And again, just anybody can play these games. There are often both the Ticket to Ride and Forbidden Island, for example, there are apps you can download for your iPad or smartphone, which can help you learn the game. Or there's a wonderful show on the web called Tabletop, which is hosted by Will Wheaton. And this category of game, Will and his guests, I've been on the show actually, will play through a lot of these games. And that's another really great, if you're not really familiar with this category of game, this kind of slightly more involved game.
We'll leave it there for now. John, we're out of time. I'll share the rest of John's suggestions on the Central Time Facebook page. We've been hearing from John Kovalik, board game designer and illustrator, the author of the Dork Tower comic books.